Volume 1, Letters 1 through 6 of The History of Emily Montagu. This is a LibriVox recording. All LibriVox recordings are in the public domain. For more information, or to volunteer, please visit LibriVox.org. The History of Emily Montagu, Volume 1, by Francis Moore Brooke. Letters 1 through 6. Read by
Kit Nusis as Edward Rivers.
Alan Mapstone as John Temple.
Letter 1. To John Temple, Esquire, at Paris, Cowes, April the 10th, 1766. After spending two or three very agreeable days here with a party of friends in exploring the beauties of the island, and dropping a tender tear at Carisbrook Castle on the memory of the unfortunate Charles the First, I am just setting out for America, on a scheme I once hinted to you, of settling the lands to which I have a right as a lieutenant colonel on half pay. On enquiry and mature deliberation, I prefer Canada to New York for two reasons, that it is wilder and that the women are handsomer. The first, perhaps, everybody will not approve. The latter, I am sure you will. You may perhaps call my project romantic, but my active temper is ill-suited to the lazy character of a reduced officer. Besides that, I am too proud to narrow my circle of life, and not quite unfeeling enough to break in on the little estate which is scarce sufficient to support my mother and sister in the manner to which they have been accustomed. What you call a sacrifice is none at all. I love England, but I am not obstinately chained down to any spot of earth. Nature has charms everywhere for a man willing to be pleased. At my time of life, the very change of place is amusing. Love of variety and the natural restlessness of man would give me a relish for this voyage, even if I did not expect, what I really do, to become lord of a principality which will put our large-acred men in England out of countenance. My subjects indeed at present will be only bears and elks, but in time I hope to see the human face divine multiplying around me, and in thus cultivating what is in the rudest state of nature, I shall taste one of the greatest of all pleasures, that of creation, and see order and beauty gradually arise from chaos. The vessel is unmoored, the winds are fair, a gentle breeze agitates the bosom of the deep, all nature smiles. I go with all the eager hopes of a warm imagination, yet friendship casts a lingering look behind. Our mutual loss, my dear Temple, will be great. I shall never cease to regret you, nor will you find it easy to replace the friend of your youth. You may find friends of equal merit. You may esteem them equally. But few connections formed after 25 strike root like that early sympathy, which united us almost from infancy, and has increased to the very hour of our separation. What pleasure is there in the friendships of the spring of life, before the world, the mean, unfeeling, selfish world, breaks in on the gay mistakes of the just expanding heart, which sees nothing but truth, and has nothing but happiness in prospect. I am not surprised the heathens raised altars to friendship. 'Twas natural for untaught superstition to deify the source of every good. They worshipped friendship, which animates the moral world, on the same principle as they paid adoration to the sun, which gives life to the world of nature. I am summoned on board. Adieu. Ed Rivers. Kit Nusis as Edward Rivers. Letter 2. To Miss Rivers, Clarges Street, Quebec, June 27. I have this moment your letter, my dear. I am happy to hear my mother has been amused at Bath, and not at all surprised to find she rivals you in your conquests. By the way, I am not sure she is not handsomer, notwithstanding you tell me you are handsomer than ever. I am astonished she will lead a tall daughter about with her thus, to let people into a secret they would never suspect, that she is past 25. You are a foolish girl, Lucy. Do you think I have not more pleasure in continuing to my mother, by coming hither, the little indulgences of life, than I could have had by enjoying them myself? Pray reconcile her to my absence, and assure her she will make me happier by jovially enjoying the trifle I have assigned to her use, than by procuring me the wealth of a nabob, in which she was to have no share. But to return, you really, Lucy, ask me such a million of questions, 'tis impossible to know which to answer first. The country, the convents, the balls, the ladies, the beaux.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?